Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
May we have your attention, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin. Thank you.
It is time to unite. It is time for Host to Host. The podcast presents Host to Host. Let the other fight while we unite.
Barcast brings you Host to Host. May we have your attention, please?
Welcome to Host, brought to you by the Barcast. I'm Rich Giordano, your host for this episode. I will be joined by Soraya Azcath. If by chance you hear any clicking noises or any tapping, things that don't sound like they should be in the audio of this episode, don't worry about it. It's nothing paranormal. It's just me. I picked the wrong headset or microphone, I should say, for this episode, but that's okay. Producers know how to make this stuff sound better than I could even sound normally. So on with the show, as they say. Let's get to the interview.
So I guess we're going to start this shindig.
Yeah.
I was looking at your bio and it says here, man, you've been into this unknown for 30 years. Man alive, that's a long time. Doing your show for 20, is a long time.
I've been doing the music show for 25 and I've been doing Where the Road Go for 5.
Oh, okay. What made you change it over?
Oh, no, I still do both.
Oh, okay. You know, you do the UFO phenomena, ghosts, psychic ability. I'm just reading your bio because it's really detailed.
The bio is probably a touch outdated at this point. I have no idea why I put that up.
You know, you're like me. It's like I do the thing. I write my bio up. People don't know what we hosts go through. You know, they think it's super easy. You just make a bio and update it all the time. But I talk to a lot of hosts, and I don't update mine as much as I should. And
I don't even think about it.
Right. It's true. You just want to talk. You know, you want to get out there and put the word out. That's funny. I was listening to a couple of your shows. Mm. You know, just... we do a similar show, very similar.
And what is yours?
Well, mine's Goof on Radio. We talk about it's Giordano's UFO Network.
Okay.
And it's not a steal from MUFON, believe it or not. It happened as a joke, and somebody made it happen, and people started liking Goof on Radio, the name. So they put a Facebook page together. Next thing you know, it's like growing overnight. But yeah, I talk about the same things as you do, and it seems like you have guests on more than I do, but why? Now, 30 years is a long time. Did you have an experience or something when you were young?
Well, I've just from the time I was a kid, I was always interested in unexplained stuff. I like mystery. And then as I was growing up, I started getting more into the occult and I started having Kundalini experiences and things like that. So it just kind of drew me that way anyway.
Wait, Kundalini experience?
Kundalini. It's a very powerful energy.
Is it something you travel with or try to? What is that for? How does that work?
Okay. All right. So Kundalini.
Sorry.
The word is, I think it's originally Sanskrit. So you'll hear it mostly used nowadays as in Kundalini yoga, which is a yoga that attempts to raise Kundalini energy. It's energy that's said to dwell at the base of your spine. And you move it up your spine through your chakras. And I know that sounds very New Age-ish. But what happened to me and what's happened to other people I've met is it just woke up one day. And when it does that, it's called a spontaneous awakening or a morbid awakening of Kundalini. And it made me very, very sick. And it basically ruined my life until I figured out what it was. And then at least I had something I could work with to deal with what was happening to me.
What do you do? Meditate? Do you
meditation is part of it. Yeah. But it's also a matter of almost like ayahuasca. It makes you deal with aspects of yourself.
Are you drinking or smoking something, or is it just meditation? No. Okay. Cause that's intense.
Exactly. Yeah. With me, it started out with visual and audio hallucinations, which is very common. And then it just started to hurt, and it hurt along chakra points, which I didn't know anything about chakras at the time. It wasn't till like the late 80s when I saw an ad in Fate or something, and then I got something from that ad in Fate, and it's like, wait a minute, this is exactly what I'm experiencing. And it's disruptive to say the least, but the way to deal with it is to figure out why it's blocked, like why it's stopping at certain points and causing you pain. I mean, it would feel like someone was stabbing me with a red hot knife and twisting.
This interests me. I've heard of ayahuasca. If I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. But I've heard of that. I listen to another, like Joe Rogan, that does that from time to time. But that's interesting to me. I've never, ever got into anything like that. Meditation, yes, and it has helped me along in my life. But then I stopped doing it once my life's back to normal. You know, it's like you just got to keep doing it, right? But see, that is interesting to me. Now, that shows me something about you, and tell me if I'm wrong. It said, just from your bio, because I hardly know you, are you a very skeptical person, and are you doing research to learn about it? I mean, how does a skeptic, maybe partial debunker, but you're not a debunker? But
I'm not a debunker at all.
Okay, you're not. Okay, so that's good. All right, so you're a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic in the fact that I don't just accept things. I always ask more questions. So whereas I believe, like if someone tells me an experience and they say this happened to me, as a general rule, I will believe them unless I see red flags otherwise.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I believe their interpretation of it.
See, I don't believe anybody.
Well, I've had so many of my own experiences, and many of them with other people around.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes they even doubt my experiences. But you know, I know people experience weird things. I'm just not convinced of the reason they're experiencing weird things.
I had an extremely intense experience this year during the week of Father's Day week, if you want to even call it that. And people say I had a spiritual attack because I used the Ouija board to contact the devil over 100 times without getting any evidence. You know, I set up the recorders, But one thing I never did during each session was say goodbye and close the door to the Ouija board. But do I believe in that? It's a piece of cardboard, man.
Right,
I
mean, right.
You know, so that's why I was doing it. Yeah. So nothing happened. And then I had this thing where I don't know why I did it. I can't remember. But I was, the devil didn't come through for me. I said, come on, man, we're supposed to have a deal. I'm making a deal with the devil. Prove yourself to me. Make me rich and you can have my soul. So I'm serious. That's what I was doing it for. Money, right? Greed, the worst thing of all. And but that's me. I think money does buy happiness. I'm sorry. It does. it does for me. I'm sorry. Why do I keep saying I'm sorry? I never apologize for anything, Soraya, ever, if you know that about me. So I put this cross on that I found. Haven't seen it in 30 years, more than that. And my parents gave it to me, put it on, and I said, I'm going to denounce you, devil, and I'm putting on this cross for Jesus Christ and Lord Almighty, and I'm going to read the Bible, da-da-da. And then almost immediately, not immediately, but like within hours to the next day, I started feeling a pressure in my throat and down to where you feel like you have to throw up. You know that urge? You're about to throw up, but then you don't? That's what I kept getting. Kept feeling that. After I ate, it felt like something was still stuck in my throat. And then as the week went on, I'll make this real short because I can talk forever. I wound up having to go to the hospital, thought I was having a heart attack, found out I had esophagitis, where it's bruising from the top of your esophagus or anywhere really. But for me, it was from the top all the way to where your stomach goes to the bottom. And I was bruised black and blue. The guy who took the x-ray says to the doctor, if this was in color, he would have bright purple and blue showing severe damage to my esophagus. So, you know, it was Father's Day. I was in the hospital. The doctor, after my parents left, because they came down, they were worried I was going to die. And then I wound up talking to the doctor by myself, and he goes, all right, your parents are gone. Tell me the truth. Do you practice magic? And I go, what do you mean? No, I go, oh, I like magic. You know, I play with, you know, little thumb lights and stuff. But no. Do you ever sword swallow? I'm like, sword swallow? And I thought he was talking about, you know, something else at first. I'm like, wait, what's this guy getting to? Seriously, you think that? Like, why would I think I'm putting a sword down my throat? I'm thinking something else. And then he goes, yeah, like magicians do.
Right.
And I go, oh, no. Why? He goes, because you're bruised severely from the top to the bottom. And it doesn't happen from a Taco Bell chip. It doesn't happen from eating a big bagel. It doesn't happen this way. Something had to be down that throat from top to bottom. I said, no, doc. And now that changed something in me. I mean, that's a weird experience to have for no reason. Nobody can explain how it happened. Mm-hmm. Other than I was either, because that's what he said, injuries like that happen in this hospital come from people shoving stuff down their throat. So, and sometimes it's a magician. And I figured, you know, you're a clean cut guy. Maybe he's a magician. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, sorry. And what else could it be? And, you know, I didn't tell anybody, but I had to. I told people on my show, and they're like, you had a spiritual attack, you idiot. Why are you playing with Ouija boards? We told you not to. And I'm like, it's not the Ouija board. It can't be. But maybe it is B. Like, because what happened? I put the cross on where my vocal cords are. I couldn't talk for 5 days. Hmm. And what is the most important thing to me is my vocal cords. I talk all day at work, and I have a show. And this attacked me where I live the most. Isn't that weird, Soraya? I mean, so...
It's definitely strange.
So what do you think happened? I mean, I didn't put anything down there. I didn't eat anything.
You didn't swallow any swords?
No, not that I remember.
I have no idea.
Have you ever had any experiences like anything move, any poltergeist activity?
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here. I didn't think you were going to say yes.
Yeah. Oh, I've had so many weird things happen in my life. It's ridiculous. And a lot of them are just, they happen and that's it. Like I don't know if it was the most recent poltergeist activity, but there were like four things in a row that happened. And then that was it. I have a satellite radio running in my room. That I'm normally in, and it was playing AC/DC, and I hate AC/DC. Nothing against people who like AC/DC, but they do nothing for me. Wow. And so I muted it, and I walked out of the room, and it unmuted itself and cranked way up. And I turned around and walked back in, and it was loud, and I went and muted it again, and I said, I don't like AC/DC, stop. I walked out of the room, it cranked back up again. So I came back in and very, very loudly said, stop turning on the AC/DC, and I muted it again, and then it stayed muted. But while I was in there muting it, this large old steel meat grinder that my parents had fell off a top shelf onto the floor. Like, this is not the type of thing that would just topple because it's heavy.
Yeah.
And it was sitting back on the top shelf. And so I just hear this loud kabang. I'm like, what is that? And I walk out and that thing's sitting on the floor away from the shelf. And I went, all right, that was loud, you know? And so then I was about to do a show. So I come back in and my microphone that I'm using right now has an on off switch on it. And so as we're talking, suddenly they're going, are you there? And I'm like, yeah. And I finally reach up and they can't hear me. I reach up and the switch is off. So I turn the switch back on and I start talking and the switch turns off again. And this is not like a switch that can be that just randomly slips off. It's never done it before. It's never done it since. And I'm just like, OK, something's turning my mic off. And then the next day, that was like on a Friday night, The next day, I grab the CD case I take with me to the radio station, and it's sitting on the ground on its side, and I pick it up, and it's open, and CDs go everywhere. And there's no way I could have put it down when it was open, because it would have the flap would have fallen, you know, open. It's not something that you do.
See, that's what keeps me coming back. Things like that. Like, there are some times where I get real bored with everything, the whole community, because there's not a lot of news, you know, not a lot of stuff happening. Except this year, I've never seen any year like this. This is a phenomenal year for all paranormal. You name it, it happened. It was a weird year. But does it make it a lot easier for you to do your show, having these experiences? I mean, I guess that's a yes answer, but don't you think it helps? Or do you find it hard to come up with stuff? Because I know I do. To talk about, I mean.
No, not usually, no.
Really?
I mean, I'm always worried that's going to be the case. But there's so many people doing such interesting stuff out there that it tends not to be that hard.
Yeah, maybe I'm just looking in the wrong spots. Yeah, maybe you're into, I don't know, different things. I don't know. You're not just into UFOs and ghosts. You're into
No. Yeah, we do. Any kind of weird history type stuff. Like, I'm always interested in how things came to be. We do a lot on consciousness and alternative science. We cover things like the electric universe theory. We do alternative archaeology, which is a lot of the early shows I did were more focused on the alternative archaeology stuff.
Alternative archaeology. Okay, so it's like fringe archaeology or something.
Right. Right. Like the three people I wanted to have on when I started the show, I said, okay, even if the show bombs, if I get to talk to Robert Schock, Graham Hancock, and Andrew Collins, I'll be happy.
Have you?
Everyone but Graham. I mean, I've talked to Graham. I haven't had Graham on the show yet.
That'd be great to have him on.
But honestly, as time goes on, I'm less interested in the big names and more interested in the new people coming up with new ideas. You know, like as much as I'd love to talk to Graham, and I do want to talk to Graham, I've listened to so many of his interviews, I'm not sure there's anything I could ask him that he hasn't already been asked. You know what I mean?
I know. You want to know, I never, ever had Stan Freeman on my show for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I started way back when, in 2006, I mean, I said that. I'm not talking about Roswell. I'm not talking with Stan Friedman because everything's been said pretty much.
Right. Right. And that's a lot of researchers. It's not that their stuff is necessarily bad, and it doesn't matter if I agree with them. It's just, it's already out there.
Yeah. And I like Stan Friedman. Actually, I think he's great, but what am I going to ask him? And then I wanted to have him on just because people wanted me to have him on. You know, we want to hear you talk to him. You know, that's what our fans want. They want to hear us talking to them. And I find that interesting. I never thought of it that way. I'm like, well, it's me. What I want. You know, I'm selfish that way.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that was the same issue Project Archivist had. And they brought him on and talked to him about his history doing the nuclear science stuff prior to his UFO stuff.
Oh, good. Yeah. Nobody ever gets into that.
Right. And so I thought that was great. But you could hear him just kind of keep pushing it back to the UFO stuff.
That's true. Yep. And I guess if I was to have him on, and he's retired now, but I would have to do a pre-interview with him because I want to ask him, what were you like as a five-year-old boy? Did you play with little rocket ships? Were you a little scientific kid, or were you a brat? Did you have brothers, sisters? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What do we know? We don't know anything about the guy yet. He's a credible guy now, you know, because he's a physicist. It doesn't mean he's credible. He's just knows, you know, that stuff.
Right, right.
That always bothers me about this. You know, yes. People always say cops. Oh, they're really great observers. Like, no, they're great at watching people and things around. They're not UFO people. They're not ghost hunters. You know, sure, they can observe something, you know, but they really don't go through a lot of training for that.
Yeah, well, it's also, yeah, it depends on what they're trained for.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they're trained in crime, right? Yeah. Suspicion. Things that don't add up. But that also, I guess...
But it also depends whether they're just like a cop on the street or a detective.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, you get that extra training. Yeah. I guess, I don't know, yeah. And, you know, I guess it would be like training as, I don't know if you do this, but do you go out and do ghost hunts or UFO hunts, anything like that?
I don't do hunts per se. I sometimes go to locations that are heavy with activity, but that's generally more because I want to see what'll happen. I'm not necessarily doing it for the show.
Okay. Do you ever go by yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I thought I was the only one because everybody goes with somebody that I talk to.
There's areas in this area that I've had a lot of repeat experiences in. Timothy Renner, who does Strange Familiars, who we run some of his shows, he has a place he calls Site 7, which has had a lot of activity. And at some point next year, I'm hoping to get down there and see if we can get anything stirred up and get some video evidence of it.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what part of the country do you live in?
I'm in upstate New York.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were from there. I thought you were from like Pennsylvania.
Nope. The Site 7 area is in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in dead center of New York State, right between the finger, in the dead center of the Finger Lakes.
So you had this experience at your house, just to go back on.
Oh, I've had a bunch of them.
But what was the earliest that it started for you?
Like weird experiences?
Yeah, like when you noticed something moved or you heard something that was not normal.
That would be with the Kundalini stuff, but that was hallucinatory. That wasn't something external to me.
How old were you, though?
Like 13.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, that's amazing to me, too. That's when it started for me.
I would do things like I played trombone at the time, and I would see steam coming out of the trombone while I was playing it. And I knew there wasn't steam coming out of the trombone, but it was there plain as day to me, and it would really freak. I thought I was losing my mind is what I thought, you know?
That's crazy. I've never heard that before. So how long did that go on for?
It still goes on. I mean, not with the trombone. It changes, but I mean, yeah, weird Kundalini stuff happens all the time. Plus it causes electrical interference. So sometimes I short things out or cause weird things to happen with electronics.
You know, I hate to keep turning it on me, but you say things that happened to me, too. Yeah. I was taping Iron Maiden Power Slave onto a cassette tape. My dad came home and he yelled for me like he was mad, you know, and he goes, come on down over here. And I go, I'm coming. And the record sped up, you know, and yep. Then it slowed back down and he yelled again. And I was walking down the hallway. I said, I'm coming. And the smoke detector went meep, 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 yep. When I walked by it. Things like that.
And that is generally what it is. It's emotional states that tend to set things off. I had a girlfriend at one point who had the same, almost same level of Kundalini, possibly worse than I did. And if we got into a fight in the car would stop.
I can't believe what you're telling me. This is crazy. I've had that happen.
And talk about it. Oh yeah, the frustrating thing with the car stopping is, you know, it wouldn't restart for days. And then it would just start up. You know, the mechanic would be like, I don't know why it's not starting. And then suddenly it would just start. And it'd be like, all right.
Yeah, that just happened to me with my Power Beats headphones. They stopped working. Now they're working again. And it's weird. I don't understand it. But I've had that with the car driving down the road. I don't know if
yeah,
that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, oh my God. You can't turn. I mean, I wound up on the 18th green of a golf course because of it. You know, I was in a car chase with somebody cut me off, clipped my car, kept on going, didn't stop.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had to follow them. Yeah. And I was like, pull over. And the car's turned off. I'm like, oh my God, no. I can't turn. The power steering didn't work. Yeah.
Luckily, the car we had at the time didn't have power steering.
But that's bizarre. I didn't know. Like Kundalini, is that just one name? There's probably many names for this.
Yeah, there's a lot of different variations of it. I mean, one of the things you can look up on YouTube is what's called the Laughing Churches. And that is Kundalini. These are people who have Kundalini. They don't know it as that because they're very Christian. And they think they're being possessed by the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong. I don't know what exactly it is other than energy. But that's their interpretation. But it can cause spontaneous laughter. And not in the, you know, like you feel giggly sort of way. It's spontaneous laughter in the you can't stop laughing and you have no idea why you're laughing. And it can be unnerving to some people. And you can spread it. If you grab a hold of somebody, they'll start laughing too. And so in these laughing churches, you'll have the main guy who has this energy, and he'll just start touching people. And as he touches them, they start laughing too.
That's so funny you mentioned. That was on America's Got Talent. The lady went up and started laughing on stage, and she goes, I'm infectious. I make people laugh. That's what she said. She goes to hospitals and kennels and, you know, and just starts laughing. That's interesting. But I think laughter is infectious as it is. People like to laugh. It feels good, but that's the eyes.
This is a different type of laughter, though. That's the thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you said that. That's right.
Because I've had people get really freaked out because they couldn't stop laughing. You don't tend to laugh when you're really freaked out, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess so. So that's weird. I can't imagine that. That's like trying to keep your eyes open while you sneeze.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's bizarre. I didn't know about that. So, yeah, you do talk about some interesting things over there.
And one of my regular co-hosts, Sherilee Black, she's had 3 near-death experiences. And Kundalini is common in people who have near-death experiences. So her electromagnetic effects are such that if she actually will see LED lights around her start to light up if she starts to get upset or emotional.
Wow.
Because we were talking, she gets very emotional talking about her near-death stuff. And we were, one of the shows we were doing with her on it, I could hear her breaking up a little bit. And then she's like, I got to go for a minute. I'll come back. And she disconnected the call. And then she came back and she's like, okay, LED lights were starting to go off. I was afraid I was going to fry the computer.
Jeez. That's weird. So she knows what her body's going to do.
Yeah. And she's done heavy psi testing in laboratories.
So bizarre. Yeah, I don't get into that as much as I probably should. I don't know. Maybe that's why I get bored every now and then. I need to expand my horizons. Well, this is why I like doing these type of interviews with other hosts, because you delve into a lot of different things, like a lot of hosts. And, you know, we can throw ideas back and forth to each other, you know, and we need to do that more. And, you know, that's why I'm glad we're here. You know, at least I get to meet somebody who knows things that I don't know. And maybe I know some things you don't know, which
probably.
I don't know.
I would hope so.
But you've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Why? What made you want to start talking about it, though?
Well, like I said, I was always interested in this stuff. And I wanted to, and there were certain people who, you know, I started out, it's funny, I hated talk shows. Absolutely hated them. Mostly because my dad listened to Rush Limbaugh all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And like, so it just gave me this distaste for talk shows. And I really got into Graham Hancock's stuff. And he mentioned he was going to be on Coast to Coast one night. And I went, I kind of want to hear that. And so I rigged up an antenna to get whatever station had Coast to Coast. And I listened. And I'm thinking, I'm going to listen to some of this and get bored. Instead, I listened to the entire thing. And I was like, huh. All right. And then at some point, he put up a thing with a link to all of his interviews on Coast to Coast in a torrent. And I went, yes, I'll take that. And so I slowly went through them. And then I started thinking, who else is on Coast to Coast? And then I started thinking, what other shows are out there? I wasn't into podcasts at the time. This was early. This was like the early 2000s. And so I started, you know, finding other podcasts and other guests and stuff like this. And I was like, this stuff's really interesting. But a lot of times, especially with Coast to Coast, I would hear, you know, they would start talking about something and then they'd go off in another direction. I'd be like, no. I want to hear more about what you were just talking about. And, you know, with the other shows, depending on the shows, a lot of those were the same way where I'd just be like, no, why are you leaving that off? Go pursue that. I want to know more about that. And then I thought it would be great if I could talk to these people. And there was one I was listening to. And they had Jesse Ventura on, and I'm a big wrestling fan as well. And they weren't even paying attention to what he was saying. And I was just like, why does this person get to talk to Jesse Ventura?
Right.
You know, it's like, I would like to talk to Jesse Ventura. You're not even paying attention to him. And so I said, huh, I wonder if my radio station would let me do this. Again, I wasn't thinking podcasting. I was thinking radio show.
Yeah.
So I presented it to my radio station. They said, yeah, that'd be great. Go ahead. And then I started podcasting it as well, because why not?
Wait, you just said something I just caught up with. You were on terrestrial radio?
Yeah, I'm on terrestrial radio. I'm on tonight.
Oh, okay. Oh man, that's amazing. Okay. Well, I told you I don't know a lot about you. I mean, this is, I know a little bit, but we all go through the same things. I'm hearing it in your voice and talking to other hosts. I know it's true, but you and I mean, just talking to you, it's almost as if we're doing like a parallel life in some of these things. It's really weird. I don't get that with a lot of people where you are having similar experience as me. I haven't found anybody else with the car thing. I mean, you know, it's weird. Yeah. It's just really weird. And making your body have an energy that can disperse. I don't know anybody else who does that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have the electrosensitivity type of thing going on. I mean, because I've met a bunch of people. I mean, people seem to be drawn to me who have it.
I wonder if that's what happened with my experience with my throat. Maybe the energy was dispersed.
Maybe, or maybe it was some kind of unconscious thing. I mean, that would be another thing. I mean, our brains can do amazing things. And even if you didn't necessarily believe it, somewhere deeper down in your mind, you might have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really skeptical, right? But I also have experiences, but I'm skeptical with other people because when they tell their stories, you know, something doesn't add up.
Yeah, and that's why I'm careful with whose stories I like put on the air and stuff. Once those red flags start coming up, I'll be like, okay, all right. You know, I'll still give them the benefit of the doubt usually, but there's doubt there. Whereas other people, especially the ones who are really unsure of what they experienced, I tend to take a little more seriously.
So what do you do now? What do you do on your FM show then? You play music, I know, but
both. It's Where Did the Road Go, and then it's my music show, The Last Exit for the Lost, which is a metal show, but it's also like punk, hardcore, gothic stuff, industrial stuff, etc.
You know, when I hear people say they don't like AC/DC, I find out that they're musicians themselves. And I don't know this about you, but they find that their music is so easy, anybody can do it, and they shouldn't be this popular.
Yeah, I'm not a musician, but that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I respect what they've done. I respect where they came from, and I understand why people like them. But to me, I like stuff that's more complex, generally, or more interesting, honestly.
Would Stradivarius fall in that area?
Early Stradivarius I like. They kind of bored me after a while.
Everything sounds the same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, stuff currently that fits that mold is stuff like Igor, which is indescribable. Neobliviscaris, which is like black metal crossed with classical music. They have like violin players and stuff. I mean, anything that sounds different really stands out to me. Zeal and Ardor, which is like old chain gang stuff mixed with black metal and heavy metal overtones.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's different, I'll be like, oh, hey, that's interesting. And I may not always like it, but it's interesting. But musically, I like stuff that I don't know, has a little more going into it than bands like AC/DC.
The strange thing about the paranormal and heavy metal and death metal, speed metal, black metal, whatever you want to call it, it seems like everybody who's into the paranormal, not everybody, but the majority listen to this music.
A lot do, yeah.
A lot do, more than Adele, you know, and whatever else. I'm not into the new stuff, but yeah.
I think there are, like, I think what type of music you listen to connects with what type of person you are to some degree.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and it's not a one-on-one comparison, but most people who are just listening to whatever the popular pop music are don't tend to be super deep people. And there are obviously going to be exceptions to that. But like it's music connects to your state of mind, I think.
You know, so, it does, doesn't it? That's good. Yep.
So like what you like musically is a reflection of kind of who you are. I mean, if you like, you know, someone who really likes old country music or old like folk music and stuff, I mean, they're connecting to something in that, you know, a feel or something in that. And that generally is going to show in their personality. The same with someone who just likes straight out metal, that's going to show in their personality. I mean, sometimes I'm surprised. Sometimes I meet someone and I'm thinking, one of my co-hosts, actually, I had met him a few times and he seemed like a really good guy. No idea he was into metal. He gave no indication of it all. And then he was into all kinds of cool metal. And I'm like, well, I'm stealing you from my show.
I love that. It's so funny. It's true, though. You can't judge a book by its cover sometimes. Yeah. And that blows me away when I hear that and see that at the same, it's like, wow, I never pictured you for that type of person at all. Oh, wait a minute. You have all those tattoos? Holy mackerel.
I don't have a single tattoo.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Hey, it's an anomaly now.
Yes, it is. I know. I tell people I don't have one. They go, you have to have an alien somewhere. And I'm like, no. No, but I do want to get one, but I don't know what I would get because, it's permanent, to where it would look good. If you try to remove it, it never looks right again. It's ruined. Your arm's ruined. Wow, this is amazing. See, that's another parallel. We both don't have tattoos. How's that even possible? I never met anybody with no tattoos.
I get that. Especially being into metal like I am, people just assume.
Yes.
But that's kind of like, it never interested me to begin with. And I change so much that I can't imagine something that I'd want to see on my body the rest of my life.
That's what I always said. Amazing.
I have nothing against tattoos. I think some tattoos are absolutely amazing, but it's just not for me. And the more popular it gets, the less interested I am in it.
Look at what we've talked about in such a short time. Tattoos, metal, ghosts. I mean, we can talk about anything, and it's a good time to me, I love this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, like my approach, when we get to the paranormal, my approach tends to be, we don't know what this stuff is. Like, so when you say aliens or ghosts or things like that, like, I almost feel like those are loaded terms. Like when someone says ghost, they assume it's a spirit of a dead person, but we don't have any idea what we're actually encountering. And there are things that flow across all of these things that like poltergeist activity. People who have UFO encounters often have poltergeist activity. Bigfoot encounters often exhibit poltergeist activity. Obviously, ghost encounters occasionally exhibit poltergeist activity. You see poltergeist activity flowing through all of this different stuff. But we name it different things depending on the context it's happening in. So like, if you're in a house and stones start coming out of nowhere, apports, and people will pick them up and they're warm to the touch and they'll be like, oh, the ghost is throwing stones at us. But if they're in the woods and the exact same thing happens, they're like, Bigfoot's throwing stones at us. And they explain the stones being warm by the fact that Bigfoot was holding it in his hand. And maybe he was. Maybe there was a Bigfoot there, but no one's ever seen a Bigfoot throwing a stone.
I'm glad you said that. Yep.
And so it's, Joshua Cutchin and I kind of coined the term wilderness poltergeist for some of this stuff. Like, if you're not seeing something, maybe it's a wilderness poltergeist.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good term for that. Maybe it is. I mean, people go missing.
Yeah. Right?
All the time. All the time. A lot of people, and we never hear about in our national parks. Forget it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure there's a myriad of explanations behind that.
I know, but some people just vanish.
Oh, yeah.
There were lights seen in the area that yep. night.
And lights are another thing that you see across the board. If someone sees a light in the sky, they assume it's aliens. But if you see a light in the house, it's a ghost.
That's true.
We've actually did, I think, a two-part show on all different kinds of light phenomena, where light shows up and all this stuff. And it's one of those across-the-board things. Lights are one of the most consistent things when experiencing the paranormal of any kind.
Well, it's supposed to be energy of some sort, I think, right?
Right, but even Bigfoot accounts. In areas you have Bigfoot encounters, people will also report seeing lights.
Yeah, that's true. What's your take on Bigfoot anyway?
I'm not sure. I don't dismiss the possibility that there is an undiscovered primate in certain areas, especially when you're dealing with something as big as the Pacific Northwest. I find it very odd that we haven't gotten any evidence of it. anything concrete anyway.
Yeah.
I think there is more likely a like something else going on. I don't want to say a spiritual Bigfoot, or I think that we're dealing with some form of energy that maybe transmutes its form based on what people expect. When I had, I can't remember his name. He wrote he's one of the Flesh and Blood Bigfoot guys, and his name is completely escaping me. He wrote a book on winged humanoid. Was it winged humanoid encounters? Anyway, it was like there were a lot of one-off things, like things that couldn't possibly be like an undiscovered something because they were only seen once. They don't make any sense to how something would have evolved like that type of thing. And I said to him, well, what if we're coming across a form of energy that we've just never encountered before? And our brains go, what is that? What is that? Monster. That's what that is. And it, and your brain shows you a monster. But all you're really encountering is energy. I mean, everything we see is energy.
Yeah.
It's our brains who make that deduction of what we're seeing and puts a face on it. So if you're in an area where people have, you know, have, where there's talk of Bigfoot and you come across some random piece of energy, you know, your brain may turn that into a Bigfoot.
Why doesn't it turn it into something else though? Because Bigfoot's with the forest?
Well, because if you're in an area where Bigfoot sightings are known, either A, the energy may eventually just start taking on a form, or B, your unconscious is going, I'm seeing something weird. It must be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, there was a lady who said, I never believed in Bigfoot, and I always ignored the stories of Bigfoot, but I saw one. You know, she tells the story how she saw one. And then some expert comes in and says, it had to be a bear walking on two legs. And when your brain, you know, is, you know, getting all these endorphins because of the adrenaline rush, because you're scared, it creates what you think you're seeing. Now, I've been scared before and had people in the car with me, my dog in the car with me. I never ever pictured them as a creature or something else that looked creature-ish when I was in a stressed out situation.
Right.
So why do they have to say that Bigfoot isn't real because their brain is seeing a bear, but because they're scared, it has to be, it changed it to a Bigfoot?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't buy that at all.
And that's a problem I have with sort of the big S skeptics, the debunkers, because they will come up with explanations that are crazier than the actual experience that the person had to explain it away.
Right. I know.
And I mean, we do need to look at this stuff skeptically. We need to ask the right questions, and we need to see if there's a reason maybe someone could have misinterpreted something. But there are some things that are just not being misinterpreted. You know, I mean, you see a light in the sky, and especially nowadays, you know, there's so much technology out there. It's hard to say what's anomalous and what's not. You know, so if someone says, well, I saw a light zip by, well, it could have been a drone. You know, I mean, and people own these. It's not just government stuff. I remember driving down on the north part of there's a city called Geneva on the north part of Seneca Lake. And I'm watching this light drop from the sky very, very quickly. But it's not like a meteor. It's just kind of coming down and swaying slightly. And I'm like, what am I looking at? And then it kind of gets closer and it slows down and it kind of like moves towards someone's house. I'm like, oh, it's a drone. But without that end context, I would have been going, what did I just watch? You know, because it even had the swaying motion that UFOs tend to have. And then as I got further down, I saw on the other, like on the edge of the lake, on the far, not like the other side of the lake, but on the side of the lake, there were a bunch of cop cars and fire trucks and stuff like that. And I'm like, someone was probably sitting here in Geneva and went, what's going on over there? And flew a drone over.
That has to be it.
Yeah, I mean, it was very obviously a drone once all the information was in. But if you don't have all the information, you're left wondering what you just encountered.
And that's the thing. A lot of people, even these debunkers, really don't even do research. They just say, well, it doesn't make sense, so it's got to be this.
Yeah, well, that's because the debunkers already have their mindset.
But they'll say, we already have our mindset.
Yeah, and a lot of times people do. That's the problem.
I know, but...
you know, Stan Friedman, for example, is absolutely positive that there are aliens here and that aliens crashed in Roswell, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not there. I don't necessarily believe that's the case at all. I don't know if there are aliens here or not.
There's no evidence.
The debunker will say, well, there's not. and that's that, you know, rather than looking at what's available evidence-wise. I mean, to me, the UFO phenomenon does not suggest aliens.
No, it doesn't. It's just an object, isn't it? It could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but even the encounters, to me, the you know, the people who have, first of all, I throw hypnosis out. Anything that's retrieved under hypnosis, I dismiss immediately. Hypnosis is not a reliable recovery tool. And like Jenny Randles, are you familiar with Jenny Randles?
Sounds very familiar, but I don't know. Maybe.
She is a UK writer. She wrote a lot of stuff in the 80s and 90s. Absolutely way ahead of her time on this stuff. And she has gotten most of the UK UFO groups to stop using hypnosis. And one of the things she did to test it, yeah, she had an event in her life that she remembered some of, but not all of, but there were records of it. So she was hypnotized to remember, try and remember the stuff she couldn't remember anymore. And what she found is under hypnotism, the stuff she did remember came across accurately. The stuff she didn't remember did not get recovered. It got, new stuff got made up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because then she was able to go back and look at what really happened and said, yeah, my hypnosis was wrong.
That's awesome. Good for her to do that, though. You know,
yeah. And apparently hypnosis creates stronger than normal memory. So if you remember something via hypnosis, it's harder to shake. Your belief in that memory is going to be stronger.
That makes sense, I guess. Yeah. So I guess that would be the same with lie detector tests.
Yeah. And lie detector tests are only a matter of whether you're reacting to lying.
Right. That's true. Now, with that being said, Bob Lazar is coming out with a docu-movie about himself on December 6th, 7th.
Yeah.
So I call him a sociopath, or he was a government shill.
I think he was a shill.
See, yeah, that's what I talked about the other night, because he acted way different back then in the 80s, 90s. You know, it was almost like he was so nervous that they told him, don't blink, don't move. Whatever you do, you got to, you know your stuff and look everybody in the eye, you know. And now he's this jovial, laughing, smiling, running around happy guy.
Right. But I don't know if necessarily shill is the right word. I think they used him.
Yeah.
I think they just, you know, they put him in positions to see and interpret what they wanted them to get out there, you know. I mean, because it's not unusual for the government to use UFOs to hide top secret projects.
What do you think about him, though? Do you think like he worked there probably? Or
I think he did. I think he was probably honest in his recollections. He was just manipulated.
Well, he got in trouble when he brought his friends out to see them, the UFO tests on a Wednesday. And mm-hmm. they did it like six times and they got caught. And then that's when they tried to get rid of his identity and, you know, remove everything about him they could. But then I'm thinking, when I hear that story, they don't make mistakes, the government. They would have killed him. You know, they kill other people for a lot less. Phil Schneider. I mean, I don't believe that he, you know, died the way he died. I don't know. You know who that is, right?
No, not offhand.
Oh, okay. Well, he was a guy who, I guess he was with the government working on building tunnels. They bore into the top of an underground alien tunnel. I think it was Dulce, maybe. I don't know. But he supposedly got in a gunfight with aliens, and they shot a laser beam at him, chopped off three of his fingers, and opened up his chest cavity, which to me looked like heart surgery. But
yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I just don't – I forgot what I was going to say. I'm having a brain freeze because I was thinking of Phil Schneider. But, oh, yeah. No, I forgot. See, that's some things that happen when you do these live shows. Your show's live, right?
So I only do it live now if I have someone in studio with me. Otherwise, I pre-record. I used to do them all live. But I tend not to edit unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah, unless something terrible happens. Like what just happened with me.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to me all the time. My brain says, what name did you want? Okay, that's the only name you're not going to be able to think of.
That's so true. You work too hard.
There was a reporter And I forget what he worked for. I know I had the guy from Who, What, Why on talking about it. His car suddenly sped up and drove into a telephone pole. And he was, you know, the government was not happy with some of the stuff he was writing about. And, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, that seems totally like something they could do, hack into a car and drive it into a telephone pole.
Supposedly they can.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they can. And, you know, that's the easiest way to eliminate. It doesn't take a lot to eliminate someone. If you really want someone quiet, it doesn't take that much. So these people who are out there saying, the government's after me. Yeah, the government was after you, you'd already be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
It would look like a car accident or a heart attack or something along those lines.
Yeah, they don't miss, that's for sure.
Not generally. Especially when people are out in public doing these talks, it's like, yeah, you're scared for your life, but you're out in public.
But then again, the government can't kill everybody. Or whoever it is killing, allegedly.
But you don't get everybody making those claims. You get a select few who usually seem like the shysters in the groups.
See, that's the thing about Bob Lazar. It's like they contacted him after everything, because he was never going to make a movie or do another interview. And all of a sudden, not a movie. But I think maybe they figured it's time, you know, let's just leave this guy alone. Or
someone waved enough money at him.
Yeah, but his claims should have had him, I think, executed in a
way. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just too good to be true, you know.
But yeah, it's disinfo. I mean, and he may not have known it was disinfo, but it was disinfo. That's how they do it.
But what if with what's going on with everything that's happened this year to the Stars Academy and their things, you know, all their cheap videos?
Yeah, to me, they're a joke.
Oh, yeah, they're a big joke. But I mean, I'm talking about the timeline of events that are leading up to what people think may be a false flag alien invasion.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either, but
I don't think they need that. That's the thing. The government's gotten to the point where it just does what it wants. It doesn't care what we want.
I wonder why it's gotten that way. Maybe because things have been played out and said so much over that everything washes everything out.
Yeah, well, people don't, you know, we don't know how to fight back, really, and we don't care that much, you know. I honestly do think it started with JFK. I think the groups, the people that are in charge were the same people who probably made sure JFK died. And when they realized they could get away with that, you know, sky's the limit. And I think once you had a 9/11 happen, you saw them get a lot bolder. Because they realize we can convince the public of anything.
The majority, you know, that, I mean, for me, 9/11, and this is just me talking, I think was somehow planned. Buildings just don't fall that way, especially number 7.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know exactly who planned it. I'm not going to say I have any knowledge thereof. And if you try to research it, you go down a rabbit hole that is just leaves you with more questions than answers. But I always feel like you can be assured the government is not telling you the truth, because the government is always going to spin things. And it's, I think one of the most damning things about it is that you had the Project for the New American Century, who wanted to go in and militarize the Middle East. And as soon as 9/11 happened, that's what they did. And these were people who were in charge, you know? I mean, they may not have done it themselves. They may have turned their heads while it happened. They may have encouraged it. You know, who knows? But it's not what we were told by the government happened.
The weird thing, the thing that I don't like, is I meet a lot of people. Now, when you and I do our shows, we're getting people that either did a lot of research or did way more research. We're not getting people who didn't do research. I'm finding out people who think 9/11, there's no way that could have been an inside job. Are you kidding? You're crazy. They did no research whatsoever.
Right.
But that's the majority of it. You know, we're just less than 1% of the population that are into this, you know, and we were such a small voice, but we make a lot of noise. But it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to say is the general public outweighs us by 99 to 1.
And a lot of the general public at this point is also struggling to get by. So yeah, you're not worried what conspiracy may be going on behind the scenes. You're worried about how you're going to pay your bills next month.
Yeah, I guess. And they're working a lot.
Yeah.
You got kids.
Exactly. You know, it's like that. That's what you focus on. And then you're fed the line by the media, you know, vote for these people and everything will get better. But it doesn't matter who you vote for. Things more or less stay the same. I mean, you get a difference in social issues and stuff. But as far as foreign policy and stuff, it doesn't really change.
It doesn't really affect me that much, only in my bank account.
Right.
But, yeah. But life goes on. Yeah, I get it.
It's one of those things where, yes, Democrats and Republicans are different, but in the end, they're all kind of answering to the same people.
How do you keep things creative, though, on your show? Do you just go by your personal experiences and beliefs and pick a subject?
It varies. People get suggested to me, and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Books get sent to me. I always read my guests' books, which is sometimes not easy, not because they're bad books, but because some, you know, like I'm reading one now. I can't see the guy's name and I can't remember it, but the book's called Time Loops, and it's all on psi research and new theories on how time works. And I'm like, okay, this is really good. This is really thorough research, but it's also 400 pages long and thick, and I don't have that much time at the moment. So I'm going, I got to get through this book somehow.
Right.
Because I really want to have this guy on. And I've heard him on other podcasts before, and he's fascinating. I mean, because he's following the scientific work behind all this stuff.
But with time being something hard to come by, you're still getting out there doing real boots on the ground research, though?
No, I don't really do boots on the ground. I do my own stuff, like I said. Like, I'll go to weird things, but I'm more looking for my own personal sort of experiences.
Okay. But you're not going out with any groups or anything like that. Just you. Okay.
Just me.
Do you oppose
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes one other person. I don't have any problem with people doing that. But, I mean, a lot of times I think people do it more for fun.
Yeah, you know, and then I have a feeling you don't like that Ghost Adventure show.
So I get a kick out of the Ghost Adventure show.
That's right. Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yes. I mean, whether they actually are or not, they're idiots on the show. And Zach, the thing I think that killed me more than anything is they were walking up a hill in, I don't know, Midwest somewhere. And Zach, who's afraid of snakes, is going, why is the hill moving? And then someone's like, they're snakes. And he's like, what? And he's like, I'm going to get over my fear. So he grabs the snake by the tail and picks it up. And of course, the snake starts to come at him and he throws it. He's like, why did it come towards me? And I'm thinking, you don't know to pick a snake up by its head.
Not the brightest bulb on the tree.
I mean, sometimes they do interesting historical things. And whereas I don't necessarily trust any of the stuff they have, I'm curious to what they come up with sometimes. For instance, they were using like what the Xbox Kinect uses. They had one of those modified.
Oh, right.
And so it's supposed to pick up things in the room. And one of the things they kept picking up were small figures, which, you know, doesn't necessarily fit ghost stuff necessarily. But when you look at the incidents of small figures in the paranormal, everything from alien, you know, aliens to fairies to, you know, whatever, small figures, you know, pop up a lot. So when they're getting these small figures, you know, climbing up the side of someone, I'm going, well, that's interesting, you know.
Yeah, why does it show up like a stick figure, you know? It's weird.
Well, the stick figure is just the way that the Kinect puts it together.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, different sizes and shapes. Why would that form that?
Yeah, why would it be a small person rather than a full-size person?
Or why couldn't it be like a wolf or a pig?
True. Well, I don't know if you'd be able to tell with the Kinect.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the Kinect only does when it sees eyes and a nose and a body.
Well, it just makes that stick figure sort of form. Like this is where something is, you know, because it's just picking up body movements.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, but it is interesting. They had one, I don't remember where they were, where they actually recorded four guys on a stage dancing, playing music and, you know, instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that one?
No.
The guy goes, and it looked like the guy was playing a guitar, the stick figure. Another one looked like he was tapping his shoe and playing the guitar. Another one was drumming. I mean, it was pretty interesting, but I'm thinking they could have programmed it that way, too.
Possibly, yeah. And I'm sure they faked some of their stuff. I have no doubt. I think that when Ghost Hunter started, they didn't. But when these other shows popped up and suddenly these other shows were finding stuff and they weren't always finding stuff, then Ghost Hunters sort of resulted to, well, we can make things more interesting here and there, you know?
Well, obviously it's not a great thing to have ghost adventures on TV because it does water down the validity of a lot of things that are happening.
Oh, sure.
But are we oversaturating, you know, our environment with it? Or, you know, every 3 months it's a new show this, a new alien show that, Bigfoot this.
The good thing I see coming out of this stuff, though, is it makes people more comfortable in talking about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the point.
You know, it's mainstream at this point. So it's, you know, people are not going to give you the same weird looks if you say you had a weird experience as they would have 20 years ago.
Do you think disclosure's near or no. will happen?
No, I don't think. I don't know that the government knows much more than we do.
I don't know either. I don't trust whistleblowers.
No.
I just don't.
Again, if they were really giving us anything important, they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But they're on their deathbed, too, some of these guys.
Oh, yeah, some of these guys, yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it's always about money or there's some other agenda we're not hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll talk about it, but you got to take care of my family, you know.
Right.
Or something to that nature. My grandson needs a new car. I don't know. That's what bothers me about Bob Lazar.
Yeah. Yeah, Lazar's definitely in the questionable category for me. But like I said, I think he was more used. He might be playing it up now. I don't know.
Well, we're kind of coming up to the end of this interview, but I did want to ask you, in case everybody's interested, which I know they probably are. I don't know why I said it that way, but when is your show on?
Well, the first airing is on Saturday night at 10 p.m. on WVBR. And I mean, they can get to the links on wheredidtheroadgo.com, and then it airs on Dark Matter on Sunday night, and then I podcast and put it on YouTube usually Monday, sometimes Tuesday, and sometimes there's another show during the week. I went through a lot of I was pretty consistent having 2 to 3 shows a week for a while, and then we got flooded, and that kind of put a damper on me being we got flooded at the beginning of August, and I'm still cleaning up damage and trying to get things working. We don't have any heat right now because the furnace was flooded, and it was like 5 degrees the other day.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. It could have been a lot worse. People downhill from us got it a lot worse, but it's taking up a lot of time trying to get everything taken care of and fixed up. So, like, I keep struggling to try and get 2 shows a week, but it's mostly been 1 a week for the most part.
There were so many parallels with us. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to talk. Unbelievable meeting you. For me, I mean, it's just you blew my mind with some of the things you were saying. So it was fun.
I've done a few full shows on Kundalini, and I've had a few people on who have had Kundalini experiences as well. Some similar to mine, some somewhat different. One girl I had on would get like mimics, and I thought that was really interesting.
Is that something?
So she would be talking, and you would hear a voice say the same thing she said from like another room.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that.
Have you had that happen?
I have just recently. Just recently I had it.
Really?
Isn't that bizarre? Oh my God.
That is how it happens.
I just figured. Somebody was walking by in the hallway, you know, outside, you know, of the apartment or something. And I'd open up the door. Nobody's there, of course. I mean, this is just weird. I'm going to have to talk to you some more.
Sure.
hope so.
Absolutely. But she had luckily caught it too, because after we got done talking, she's like, "Hey, here's a YouTube video I did, and you can hear the thing mimic us or mimic me at one point." And they're like just talking about some mundane thing, like, "Okay, so we made this thing, her and her friend," and all of a sudden she says something, and you hear the voice like kind of in the background say the same thing, and they both just stop, and she goes, "Did you hear that?" And her friend goes, "Oh yeah," and then they just continue on.
I don't know if maybe it's all in our heads, but when somebody else hears it, it can't be that way.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean she's not somehow projecting it. You know, it doesn't mean that it's something exterior to her.
Wow. You just opened up a whole new topic and we already said goodbye pretty much. Well, that's good for next time. So
sure.
We could just end it right, you know, with that. But I'm glad we had it this time, man. It was great. It was nice meeting you. And how do you say it? It's Soraya Azcath.
Correct.
And I won't forget it. Well, it was good meeting you. And we'll talk soon.
All right.
And that's that.